So the most 2000s thing happened to me on my trip in Miami, well, on my flight back.
Ooh, I didn't hear this story.
Yeah,
Tell me.
so basically well, two things. Throughout the whole flight home for an hour, they were playing Will and Grace the whole time. And then me and my girlfriend were watching House on her iPad, and there was an episode where this woman's like having a stroke, and she's a photographer, she's having a shoot, and the guy she's shooting is the lead from All American Rejects. And he's on the fucking episode for like a minute, and he has the worst acting job ever. And I was like, man, I can't wait to tell Catherine this entire experience.
That is so 2000s. I love it.
And as we were trying to land, we turned, and I was like, there's something wrong. And the pilot goes, sorry, folks, there's a VIP on the runway. Mr. Trump will be holding us up for the next 20 minutes.
Breaks
And I
into
shook
reality.
my fist into the air.
As one should.
And now we can talk about the 2000s.
Are you sure you didn't fly through like a time warp?
God.
And we're
And then
actually in the 2000s?
I fucking hope so. I'm waiting for my flip phone to return to my hand.
Ooh, I miss my purple Motorola.
Oh my God. So now we can talk about the 2000s. And so we're going to talk about undeniably, unquestionably, the greatest pop star of the 2000s and possibly of our generation, Britney fucking Spears.
That is
Because
her legal middle name.
Britney fucking Spears. It's not Lynn. It's Britney fucking. So even with Michael Jackson making a comeback in the 2000s, Britney was still way better and untouchable for 10 years. She single-handedly revived the teen pop genre.
Right.
Like, alone. Just like, I'm gonna do this, and then blew the fuck up. And every time I ask people who they thought the greatest pop star was in the 2000s, it's Britney.
I mean, it's funny too, because I read that she had or was originally thinking something more like Sheryl Crow.
Yes! Sheryl
Like,
Crow! She never will escape this.
exactly. Like, and so to think that that's what she was originally thinking, and then because her producer was like, no, I think you should do pop, and she was like, oh, sure, that makes sense because I
Yeah.
like dancing. Like, if it weren't for that,
Yeah.
would she still have been as successful as she was?
If Sheryl Crow did not exist, would there be Britney? I think that's the fucking question. Because who would she want to emulate? There would be no
But
one.
she didn't emulate Sheryl Crow. She
She
just
attempted to.
originally.
Yeah, she wanted to.
Well, no, she was imagined it, and then her producers are like, nah.
Sheryl
Like, by the time
Crow.
she got signed on a
Sheryl
label.
Crow made Britney.
Okay, sure. Britney's actually part of the crow's nest.
Homegirl has been doing this since she was 5 years old when she was doing the Mickey Mouse Club with Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling, and Carrie Russell, which I had no idea was on there. Oh,
You didn't
Christina
know that?
Aguilera. I didn't know Carrie Russell was
I
on it.
knew that.
I didn't know that.
I knew
I
something
knew
Jason didn't
Gosling.
about
I
the
knew
2000s.
Aguilera, Gosling were on it and Timberlake, but I didn't know she was on it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking weird. That door's creaking.
Or it's just the ghost
It's the
that
fucking
lives
ghost of
in my
those hair.
house.
And so she was rejected by three major labels until Jive signed her because they said that they thought people wanted more of group music, like Spice Girls and Backstreet Boys, and they were fucking wrong. So that leads into her
Suck it.
first, yeah, fuck them. They don't exist anymore. That leads into Baby One More Time. 1999. This shit was recorded in Sweden.
It was. I didn't know
I
that.
had no idea. The Sheryl Crow bit is very, very true. And she would fucking do mall promotions and just like her in like the middle of like the food court with like two backup dancers and doing a few songs. Do people still do mall tours? Mall
I
promos?
doubt that.
No one goes to malls anymore, so it's like
Not to like hang out the way they used to. It's just
Yeah.
like, oh, I go to the mall because I need to go to a store that happens to be in the mall.
There's a sale.
Yeah.
There's
Like,
a sale.
I live next to, like, for the last 2 years, I lived right by this really big mall.
Yeah.
And I went, I think, total 4 times. two of which were the actually in almost every time except for one was to go to the Popeyes.
Yeah.
I know what I'm
reasonable.
About.
Yeah, yeah, Popeyes. It's the only reason you should go.
Yeah.
Or the movies.
I want to get my phone fixed.
Yeah, and so like her first tour was opening for NSYNC, which is like insane, especially when they were blowing up at the time. And then Hit Me Baby One More Time. They took out the hit me bit because they thought it would condone domestic violence. And I thought that was kind of funny because I remember as a kid, Hit Me was still in the title when they would show it on MTV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I still remember like Hit Me and then Baby One More Time was on there. And then the song was originally pitched to TLC and they rejected it. So now I'm like, if TLC had done that song, there would probably be a rap verse in there.
Oh my god, probably.
Like, what the fuck would it sound like?
I would
like?
Love to hear their version, though. Like, I'm just
oh,
very
TLC
curious.
Baby One More Time version? Like, oh man, I don't know.
Like, Britney will always be the iconic, but also, I'd be very curious.
Let me hear the alternative version.
Like, I want to hear a TLC cover.
Yeah. Ooh, fuck. Oh man, that's rough. Yeah, and the fucking... Everyone in the studio, all the label heads, they heard the song and they were just like, this is it. This is the fucking hit. And the song sold 10 million copies alone. Let that marinate.
As you sip your tea.
As I sip my tea.
You just wanted a tea break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so basically, this first album is the greatest first album by really anyone. This album was number one in every country it charted in.
Apparently, I saw that
how insane
was,
that shit is.
I saw it was the best-selling debut album of any artist ever.
Yeah.
Like, straight
it's,
up.
That's fucking
I'm like,
crazy.
Damn, Britney. Get it.
Fucking Britney killed it.
Yeah.
If you look through the chart, there's a chart of other charts, and they're all one, except for Finland or some shit. Like, everything's one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck no one right now could do that?
No
one. There isn't anyone in this world that could do that. Not Beyonce, not Lady. No one could achieve this in this world right now.
If my research taught me anything, it's that I think I've been taking Britney for granted. Because it's like she was always like...
Yeah.
She was a huge part, obviously a huge part of everyone's life.
Yeah.
Because she really was that level
we
of
we took
iconic,
her for granted.
But I never thought about it. Like, I never realized or really thought about how much of an icon she is.
There is an entire generation of
like,
children
I use the word icon a lot,
that but... didn't... go through that Britney phase in timeline, that arc. No one experienced that. They just got tail end Vegas Britney.
Ugh, so
and
sad.
Womanizer Britney. So it's like, they don't...
Womanizer isn't bad, though.
No, it's not bad at all.
It's not her peak, but it's...
Yeah, so basically, this album sold 25 million records. The album has endless amounts of bops. You Drive Me Crazy is my personal fucking favorite, and I was blasting it on the way here, like, four times.
Of course you were.
Yeah. And Britney has said these were not her greatest song, because they weren't challenging. They were like, oh, this is nothing. Like, I want to do better. And I'm like, that's insane, because this is as good as it might get. And she's a beast. Like
she has a crazy level
she's
of ambition.
A beast.
Like,
ethic, ambition. Oh yeah. It's fucking crazy.
And I honestly think that's a huge part of why she became so successful is that she was honestly willing to do anything. Like
she was willing to
go
beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond the stars.
And it wasn't like oh, I just really want to be super rich. It was or like
I
make didn't
the greatest
feel inspired by greed.
Ever.
It's like, yeah, she just was so passionate about her work and she just really wanted to make amazing music.
Yeah, that work ethic is insane.
Yeah.
She holds the Guinness World Record for best-selling album by a teenage solo artist.
Yeah.
That's insane. And also, for me, this album was repressed on vinyl last year.
Hey.
I'm going to be buying it.
So to answer that question, would Jason have it pressed on
vinyl? Fuck yeah.
Obviously.
And it was.
I mean,
and
I know the answer is pretty much yes, because, like, obviously for Britney.
Then, she drops the next year, Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh, love it.
That is... maybe my favorite album of her, and in my opinion, her strongest song-wise. Well, I just thought the songs were heavy.
I think that was actually my album of the week on our last episode.
Yeah.
And it was because as soon as like I saw that, I'm just like, oh my god, yes, this was such an iconic album.
Yeah, this shit
so
was
good.
like the music videos, the lyrics, all the songs were just like, this shit is like peak pop of where it was. And
like, what a way to start off the year
2000. Yeah, she fucking took a week off from her first tour and then went into studio and started recording again. Like, this woman's work ethic was unheard of. Like, she just went right through it. Commercially was, supposedly, the way the label saw it, they saw it as a minor disappointment that it wasn't, like, number one everywhere like the first one was. But it still killed, like, 2 million worldwide and sold 1 million in its first week.
Right.
Do you know how fucking insane that is?
Like,
it was
still crazy, like, successful.
Yeah, like, what's 1 million divided by 7?
Don't ask me to do math.
Sorry. So, basically, it sold a shit ton, and it was the fastest-selling album by a female in the first week, and she held that record for 15 years until, guess who broke it?
Taylor Swift.
Wrong, it was Adele. When she dropped 25.
I forgot about Adele.
Adele? When she dropped 25, and she sold 3.3 million copies in a week.
Yeah. I honestly forgot about Adele.
Dog, this shit is crazy. Like, the amount of money and things, like, the units being pushed is insane.
Yeah.
This album was certified septuple platinum. I've never heard that word used.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that could even be a thing.
Yeah, I thought it was like, oh, triple platinum. Like, I've heard that shit. Like, quadruple, yeah. But septuple was a thing I had never heard of.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, then late 2000s, it finally sold 16 million copies, becoming the best-selling album of the decade. The fucking decade, dude. We could end this show right now. Like,
that's it. That's the entire 2000s, Britney.
Yeah.
That's all you
She's the greatest
know.
Ever. Straight up. Mm-hmm. You can't fight that shit. She Oops, I Did It Again, nominated for Best Female Vocal Performance. And guess who it lost to?
I feel like this is just you quizzing me.
I think it's funny because, like, finding this out is pretty funny.
Oh, I know it. I forgot, though.
If you guess this shit right, it's Macy Gray.
Oh, yeah.
She lost a Grammy to Macy Gray. That's fucking crazy. And she was also nominated for a Kids' Choice Awards.
Of course.
Which in early 2000 was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Getting that blimp and getting slimed.
I recall.
She was nominated for Favorite Song, and guess who the fuck it lost to? Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men.
Oh, that's horrifying.
That is fucking hilarious. And then songs like Stronger, which is like the anthem for every post-breakup ever.
Yeah.
Stronger, and, you know, I'm pretty sure she sang it after she got divorced from K-Fed, Kevin Federline.
No, I think that was, I think she did that earlier, didn't she?
Yeah, but I meant like after
that.
Yeah. Yeah, which we will definitely be getting into. Lucky was one of my favorite songs and music videos.
So good.
I was just like, this is a weird criticism and self-reflection on her fame and kind of like the shittiness of it. Like,
yeah.
And also how lucky she is to actually be in there.
Right. Well, honestly, listening to so much of her music, like, it was almost like you could see the foreshadowing.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Of the breakdown. Yeah. Like,
she saw the future.
The irony in my prerogative. Physically
dude,
hurt
dude.
Me.
Like, she saw the fucking future.
Yeah.
And it's, she is a well-oiled product of the machine that is the music industry.
Right.
And she made it her own, which is impressive because some people don't do that. They just follow the, like, the regiment of the machine.
Right.
And she was just like, I'm gonna help you as long as you help me. And just killed it everywhere. And so, this kind of leads into wanting to take a break, because as much as the music was important, her personal life was just as amazingly gratifying and sad. When she was going out with Justin Timberlake, this was the greatest couple that the world had ever seen before Jay-Z and Beyonce.
I mean, two icons. I mean, that denim outfit.
In their fucking peak, this was amazing. Like, Justin and Britney were your prom king and queen of your teenage years and music and teen pop. Like, From Justin to Kelly was a movie that shouldn't have happened.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
It should have been From Justin to Britney, and it would have been an Emmy-nominated film. Easily. Easily. And the fact that they were dating at their highest peaks and just seeing the chemistry with them together and knowing that they had known each other for so long since they were fucking kids.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, it's beautiful to see. And I'm like, oh, they're going to have kids. It's going to be wonderful. And like, they gave you a feeling. It was like watching your favorite. It was like watching a couple you fan fictioned about, you shipped, come together in real life and realizing that dreams can't do come true. That's what that was like. That's the feeling I had.
It's like kids divorced parents finally getting back together.
Yeah, it's very much like that. And so I was just like, have they been always like together, like liking each other since like they were kids and then grew up? Like if Ryan Gosling got together with Christina Aguilera in like the Mickey Mouse Club post, what would the world be like? Like that's, I don't know. It just feels gross. They're doing construction next door.
There was definitely someone like banging on the roof earlier. So that makes sense.
Get the fuck out.
At least that stopped.
Yeah. And so it was like, what would, you know, they pulled off full jean, all the denim that you can imagine on a human being possible. Like no one has ever done that. They took Wrangler jeans endorsements to another level of just like, it was like the way NASCAR drivers wear, there are sponsors. Mm-hmm. That's what that looked like.
I saw an interview where Justin was asked if what he knows now that he didn't know in the 2000s, and he was like, that you can't get away with wearing all denim without everyone remembering.
But he did. He got away with it.
No, but he didn't. He said without everyone remembering.
Without remembering.
It's very much, he's like, oh yeah, like, that's gonna be remembered forever. It's yeah, immortal, dude. Now.
No one gives a shit about your first album. It's like, we want full denim.
Yeah.
I think he should bring it back randomly. It's just like, just come absolutely out stylish. I think you can pull it off a little better now.
There have been a couple other red carpet outfits where a couple has gone in all denim. Not quite as iconic as theirs. Hang on, I have to look it up.
I saw it. Because, like, yesterday. That's brave. Mm-hmm. It'd be some shit if it was like 100 degrees and you're wearing all denim. Like, I would die. And I wear jeans in, like, the heat. Please find this.
I'm working on it.
As we wait, we will definitely talk about 2000s fashion, because this shit is iconic, and I lived through it, and I did participate in so many things. Look at that shit. I want that on a t-shirt, just them at the red carpet full
denim.
There
is a t-shirt,
happy.
Actually.
And it says, never forget.
Uh-huh. And actually, his exact quote was, if you wear denim on denim, it will get documented.
That's a lot of D's.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Who? Oh, also, Britney Spears' dress, the denim dress, was sold for $7,199 at an auction.
And it deserves said, more. It deserves
no, someone
more.
Said a relative steal considering its spot in red carpet history.
Yeah, dude.
Ah, yes, here we go.
That's a fucking sale.
Riff Raff and Katy Perry.
Disgusting. Oh, I remember that! I remember that!
Yeah.
Riff Raff and Katy Perry wearing all denim.
That grossest, looks gross. Yeah.
Grossest thing. But if you don't pull off the cowboy hat, the denim cowboy hat,
it's not worth
go
it.
Go fuck yourself. Like, it's not worth wearing it. Look at that shit.
Especially the sunglasses. They really
oh
made
my
it.
God, the sunglasses. And see, the her dress is great.
Iconic, yeah.
The dress looks great. The fact that it's all like the jacket, the shirt.
Yeah.
That's not a denim shirt. That's a blue shirt.
Yeah.
So if anything, he bitched out.
That's true.
There's a denim shirt somewhere.
I love the subtle bedazzling.
Yes,
of the pockets.
Yes.
Those are nice.
The nice washout. You can tell these are 2000s jeans.
Oh yeah, this is authentic 2000s denim.
Yeah, if you don't wear all denim to a 2000s party, you may as well have just stayed in your car.
Yeah. Also, supposedly he regrets it, and I'm like, does he though?
Don't regret that shit, bro. Justin, if you're listening, no regrets.
No regrets.
An adorable thing, Justin was Britney's first kiss.
Yeah, I think I
that's
her. Oh yeah, you told me.
Yeah, and I was like, that's beautiful. This is why America loved you. And
that's the purity we need.
When he's talking about her, he's quoted as saying at some point, she breathes fresh air into me.
Sorry.
She breathes fresh air into me. Look at this style. Jesus Christ. fuck.
What an icon.
Jesus Christ. The queen of the, like...
This is one of the most look at the
midriff. She's a queen of, like, that whole midriff look.
Ah, yes, of course.
Look at this shit. She looks like a wax doll. Nothing of her seems real anymore.
That's very true.
Jesus Christ, that's mildly scary. Oh, my God, oh, the Girl Scout. That midriff.
Oh, look at her.
Happy. Yeah, so, basically... So, they never fucking got married, even though she wanted to, and I guess he was just like, nah. But she did marry that one guy for 55 hours.
Yeah, I saw that.
55 hours.
Like a childhood friend.
Childhood friend, married for 55 hours, because she had not realized the mistake she had made, and was like, have this shit annulled. And, like, Kim Kardashian's marriage to Chris Humphries lasted 72 hours.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, you know, Britney still holds that record. Britney holds a shit ton of records, y'all. Like,
she's good at that.
She is a record-breaking, trend-setting son of a bitch. Like, she just killed the 2000s. The breakup was, like, the hugest thing when it happened in, like, 02.
Oh, I bet.
That shit, like, Justin talked about this on Oprah. Right. Barbara Walters.
And the release of Cry Me a River.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the world treated it as if it was some tragic event. Like, yeah. If a hurricane had just come through a town and they were interviewing people.
Never forget.
No. Like, if anything, he broke up with her, and how Cry Me a River was basically about how she cheated on him, and the music video is him getting revenge. But he's never said outright that that's what fucking happened.
Right. Just implicated.
It's rumored that she was sleeping with a choreographer and she fucked Ben Affleck. Supposedly. It was over a night of strip poker. And I kind of believe it because Ben has been known to be a gambler and he loves to play poker. He's addicted to that shit. Or was. But his people has come up, oh, this is all rehashed shit. Like, it's all bullshit. I was like, I don't know. I kind of believe it.
Another conspiracy theory.
Ben Affleck is a slut.
Okay.
Massive slut. You know it's true. Another reason, aside from the cheating, that the fame just got to be too much, which I can see definitely makes sense. Like,
right.
You're like 20 years old. And you're both at the height of your careers, flying everywhere. There's no time for love.
One is crazy enough, but two.
Two. A lot. Like there's no balance. Like, you know, I could see that shit. Like, just not. Like, they were making stupid amounts of money. Stupid amounts. Like, if they had stopped their careers there, they would never have to work another day.
Like, there was one year, I forget which one, where she made $58 million, and I'm like,
what the fuck? Yeah, like stupid amounts of money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm struggling to make like $2,000, like. This shit is hard.
I feel that.
I just need to be Britney. Or time travel and invest in her.
Very true. Can you, like, invest in celebrities with, like, stocks? Does it work like that?
I don't know, man.
I wish.
I feel, I don't know, like, I don't know. I put, like, $20 into a person and then it builds over time.
It feels very much like betting. Like, how you would bet on a racehorse, but you're betting on people.
I'm betting on Britney.
Oh, my God.
And then... Oh, that should be a fucking thing where, like, you bet on an up-and-coming star.
Is this not basically fantasy football, though? But, like...
Without...
Like, it's the concept of fantasy football.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I won this past week.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I hope when this episode comes out, I will have won that week as well.
I won fantasy movie lead last week.
I had to delete the app. It was eating up my fucking phone. Wow. Yeah. But, and then... So, here's a funny thing. She wanted to get married, and she had stated she wanted to remain a virgin till marriage, but she also kind of has said that she thought she would be with him forever, and she kind of low-key implied that she lost her virginity to Justin. Mm. Justin was, like, first with everything for her. She really thought she was going to be with him for fucking ever.
Yeah.
And so did we. And we were fucking stupid.
I miss them.
Because Justin was just like, I like that girl from Seventh Heaven more.
Justin, why can't you see?
No, god damn it. You guys were perfect. Like, if there's very few white people I would root for, and it was them that I was just like, I want these blonde people to meet. This is like, this is beautiful. This is what America is about. And there's a video of on Andy Cohen's show, and Fallon was on it, and he asks him, since he was friends with Justin in 2002, the same year the breakup happened, he's like, do you know the actual reason why they broke up? And he just says yes. Cohen didn't phrase the question good, so he didn't answer more.
Well,
Fallon knows the real reason. That kind of pisses me off. Like, Jimmy Fallon should know anything. He should just
very
do his
true
shtick
in
and just,
so many matters.
Yeah, so honestly, this entire breakup thing should have been a whole theory on our last episode. This should have been a conspiracy theory of, like, why did they break up?
That's true.
Yeah. I'm sure the CIA has, like, a ton of folders on it and stuff like that.
Obviously.
Yeah. And so her self-titled album, Britney, it's just Britney, I'm a Slave for You, was blasting when I was in Miami, like, in this one restaurant.
Yeah.
It was just like I'm trying to eat a pizza, and then I just hear Slave for You in the background. Like, what the fuck is...
necessary.
Iconic song. I remember it because watching the 2001 VMAs as a 9-year-old and seeing her come out in this green bikini and a python on her fucking arms and a caged white tiger in the background.
And then PETA lost their shit.
And PETA was not, as they do, fuck them, whatever. But I was just amazed. Like, someone could have been killed during this performance.
Oh, yeah.
People could have died. Mm-hmm. But I would have been fine with that. Like, the python, the whole look.
Have you seen that episode? Well, I haven't seen the episode, but I've seen it. Clip on the interwebs. Of the Eric Andre show, and there's, an actual bear.
No!
And this is not a trained bear.
No! Like, oh, my God.
They bring it on, and you even see the point where Eric Andre realizes it's a bad idea. And then that's right before the bear destroys the desk, and they both run.
Yeah, a bear anywhere in your vicinity, you better get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, because this does not, if it's a trained bear, they trained it to, like,
that is a big,
destroy.
That is a big fear of mine, of being mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to live
I haven't
that.
Been the same since I saw The Revenant.
Yeah, that's fucking frightening. You've seen Grizzly Man, right?
Grizzly Park.
Grizzly Man. Grizzly Man will fuck you up.
I don't know.
It's kind of, it's about that, we'll talk about it after.
Okay.
But, so, Overprotected, another great song from that album. Shit Bops, underappreciated. In my opinion, not her best album, but still solid.
Right.
Her tour was the second most successful that year behind Cher. Because Cher was killing it in, like, 2002. And that album basically solidified her as, like, a pop queen during the whole decade. Like, that was, like, that album. Forbes named her the most powerful celebrity in 2002.
I mean, sounds right.
Yeah. And then, at the same time, Homegirl is so busy. Like, we're flying through this shit, and you have to realize that this is happening in a 3-year span.
Right.
Could you imagine all this shit happening to you in 3 years? Like, do you get a break?
I mean, she's still, like, at this point, she's, like, what, like, 21?
Yeah, she's, like, 21. And it's just, like, you're flying through your life, and all this shit is happening to you. And then, like, you just broke up, and, like, you just perform, you just drop a new album, you're making this crazy amount of money. And then you're, like, I kind of want to do a movie. And that movie... And that movie is fucking Crossroads. And I used to get Crossroads and A Walk to Remember confused sometimes.
How?
I was a child. Like, I didn't... Because they both came out around the same time.
See, that's a me move. That's something
they both came out at the same time, and it was just both about white girls and shit. And it was about... It all involved walking. Like, A Walk to Remember, Crossroads. Like, at some point, you need to be on the road on some kind of pavement to walk on.
Nah, you can walk through the woods.
Can you cross roads?
You're the worst.
The budget was $12 million, which is that's indie movie budget.
Yeah.
And it made $61 million fucking dollars on Britney
alone.
Britney's
in it.
Zoe Saldana's in it. Young Zoe Saldana's in this shit. And it's just like, she was doing, the movie took half a year to make, which is the same time Avengers takes to fucking shoot. And all because she was also recording that third album.
She busy.
Busy as fuck. everyone hated it. Like, everyone hated the movie. Like, this was an awful film. But the movie's amazing.
Right.
They're fucking wrong. The critics are wrong. Like,
critics are wrong about so many movies.
You know who wrote this shit? Shonda Rhimes. From Scandal and any other show you've probably seen.
That's amazing.
Shonda Rhimes wrote this shit. The best review I read about this movie was, and I quote, "You spend a lot of time wondering, is this better or worse than Glitter? You think if the projectionist could crank the volume a little, you could actually sort of get into this." So the question is this better or worse than Glitter? I argue better.
I agree.
I argue better. And if you disagree, you can go fuck yourself.
It's better than Glitter. Change my mind.
It's better than... Is Crossroads way better than Glitter? Change my mind. That should be a topic that asshole should talk about. Two things before we get into the real meat of why we're here.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about two things. That big kiss that happened on the VMAs with Madonna and Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
That whole thing. If the world had ended during that kiss, I would have been fine with that.
I think a lot of people would
have. I would have accepted death at that point. Because it was... What Bette Midler said of that moment, she said, it was the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
And granted, Bette Midler used the N-word the other day.
Of course.
Yeah. So, this was an iconic moment. And Madonna also, she kissed Britney first and then moved over to Christina. But as she was doing that, they cut the camera to Justin to catch his reaction. And so we didn't really get to see the other side.
I mean, I would want to see Justin's reaction too, so fair.
And his face was just stone cold, like, trying to keep it in. Yeah, I can tell he's just, like, quiet, like, oh, okay. And I'm just like, bro, you know you feel something. And, you know, the fuck ever, man. Because, you know, they had just, it was like... Like, the breakup lasted, that breakup aftermath lasted years, even into his first album.
Right.
Like, so everyone was still, like, getting over it. And then the second thing I would love to talk about is Toxic as one of the greatest songs of the decade, hands down.
Yeah.
One of.
Well, Toxic was from Blackout.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I personally really love that album.
As I Function.
Yeah.
In Blackout mode.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, it was, like, one of the more critically acclaimed, like, one of the most successful
It's one of the greatest songs ever. Like, if you hear this shit at a party, all the girls look at each other as if they're just about to lose their shit on the dance floor. Like, everyone's, like, trying to find, like, the closest person to, like, dance with.
I found out Toxic was, of her most successful hits... Toxic was one of the ones that wasn't as successful in the U.S. Like, it didn't reach
Europe.
Number one or whatever.
Yeah, Europe loves Britney.
And I'm like, really? Toxic of all songs didn't reach number one here?
Yeah, it's fucking, like, that song, that music video on the airplane, that shit was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was, that shit is still everywhere. Randomly hear Absolutely. It in an Applebee's. Like, you'll hear it somewhere.
Yeah.
It's still, like, one of the, like, it was, by NPR, stated one of the most important records of the decade.
Right. Also, Gimme More. Gimme More is also a heck of a bop.
Oh, no. Toxic, you're wrong. Toxic was in the Zone, not Blackout.
You're right.
Yeah. That was an In the Zone.
And Blackout, though, was also.
She won a Grammy for this song. It was for, like, a best dance song. And she beat out the Scissor Sisters, Basement Jacks, Kylie Minogue. And it was just like, you know, she deserves this shit. Like, Toxic was... If Toxic was in a film, it would have won an Oscar. Like, if 3-6 Mafia can win an Oscar, Britney can win an Oscar. And one of the songs on that album, Outrageous, was written by none other than R. Kelly.
What a blessing.
He's the only guy credited on that song as a writer. It's just fucking R. Kelly. I just find that weird.
Yeah.
she, this is the first one. It was a solid album in comparison to her second album. Like, to me, this was like just as strong as Oops, I Did It Again. And she was the first woman to have her first four albums at the top of the charts. Like, Homegirl was killing the 2000s. Like, she had amassed so much power and clout, and it was just everything. Like, she was the queen of pop for a decade.
Yeah.
Untouchable. And then we get to Kevin Federline and that entire era of Britney having a downfall.
Cut to the year 2006.
Cut to the year 2006. Well, if anything, let's start at 2004. Because this shit is, this shit has arrived. I feel like I have a timeline that, like, I'm talking about a murder.
It was. The murder of Britney Spears.
I mean, honestly, the murder of... This is the murder of Britney Spears. Because... I'll get into it later. But if you kind of see how I talk about... We talk about this. There's nothing left of whatever early Britney was to now. That's gone. Like, anything that was her is dead. Mm-hmm. And this timeline killed her. So, January 2004, she gets married for like a day. Quits. July, she meets Kevin fucking Federline, or as he's uncommonly referred to as K-Fed.
You.
He had just broken up with his previous girlfriend, Shar Jackson, who was an actress. She was pregnant with her second kid, and which is why it was a big deal. And like they were like, oh, this and that. She was all over the tabloids. Got married in September that same year. And it was finalized in October because they were getting into prenuptials ready. Because Britney's right. Not fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah.
No, Britney's not Paul McCartney.
Oh my god.
You heard about his whole divorce. His ex-wife took half of everything.
Jesus.
Like, she took $1 billion from him. $1 billion. A beetle. That's why John...
I mean, he should have signed a
prenup. Yeah, that's why John and George are dead, because they were, like, avoiding, like, I'm not trying to get my shit stolen by homegirl.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, they had a five-episode reality show.
See, if there's a reality show about your relationship, I feel like that's a red flag.
Here's the thing. The reality show was really just their home movies. Oh. And just her recording shit and like...
Lame.
Blah, blah, blah. It, if anything, it's kind of weird to see transparent, real, grounded Britney. Like, there's something incredibly off about it, and then seeing him in the background is like... Kevin Federline gives Trailer Park Trash the hopes that they can achieve their dreams. Like, he just looks like he walked out of a trailer park, or he's going to go to a gas station to find a loose cigarette.
Yeah. Because
that's all he can afford. That's what he looked like all the time. He was just so fucking slimy. And it was just very... You can see how toxic this shit was going to get by how they were together. Like, I'm like, yo, this shit just looks... You know this is going to end bad. And so basically the guy, Kevin, was just there for the money, honestly. Because it's like he left some other actress and realized he can get with Britney and got with her. And then they had two kids together. This entire marriage could have ruined her career. He could have ruined her career. Which only leads that white men ruin shit all the time.
Well, yeah, that's a commonly known fact.
There's a common theme that I've been realizing. White men just... trying to be something they're not, like rappers, sometimes, and kind of ruining shit. And so 2 years later, she files for divorce. And that following year, in February, she walks into the salon, somewhere in California, and shaves her fucking head. And prior, she was in rehab in Antigua, but was like, I hate this. And just flew and shaved her fucking head.
Well, here apparently she was trying to get the hairdressers to do it, and they were refusing to. So she just grabbed it and did it. And the whole time she was saying like I don't want people to be touching me anymore. Like, and you know,
yeah.
And I'm just like, that's just, like, tragic. Like,
it's fucking tragic.
Yeah.
Like, we were, at some point, I think us as a human society are in a better place to acknowledge emotional distress and mental health.
Yeah.
Back then, this was fucking hilarious.
Right.
We were just like, oh, Britney's losing her shit. This is fucking hilarious. Yeah. Now, if that shit happened, it's like, she needs help. Yeah. Like, we need to help her.
I saw, so one of the things I did to prepare for this is there was this person on YouTube Shaver who heads. Made a 3-part compilation of videos that kind of go through her entire breakdown.
Dude.
And, like, I don't know which part I watched. They weren't labeled very clearly. But, like, I think it may have been, like, the first part. But a lot of the video was just, like, the person wasn't talking or explaining much. Yeah. It was just showing you, like, literally just showing you different videos from the paparazzi. And it's literally so many different instances of paparazzi literally chasing her around stores. Like, she's running, and they're chasing her. They're like, Brittany, how you doing? Brittany, what are you doing? And she's just like, oh, my God, like, leave me alone. And at first, she's just ignoring them, but she just, like, you see her get more and more desperate. And there's one point where she's, like, crying on the other side of the gate. She's just, like, sitting in the dark, on the ground, just crying, and they're like, Brittany, why are you crying? And it's like, oh my God. I felt like that person in the video who's like, leave Brittany alone!
No!
I'm like, I finally understand that video now.
He was fucking right. Leave Brittany alone.
Like, I didn't understand it like that as a child.
No, I, watching it, everything in that time, we all thought was hilarious. Like, the leave Brittany alone thing. But he was right.
He was so right.
Fucking right. Like, she, imagine that your life is worth millions. Your husband is fucking jack shit. You're trying to get ready for this, and paparazzi are constantly harassing you, and you have to deal with that in a span of being awake in California for, like, a few hours.
Yeah.
Like, that would, I would fucking kill myself. Like, I would not be able to handle that. And so she shaved her head so that if, during the divorce, if the judge had asked for a sample of her hair, they wouldn't find drugs. Because when you do drugs, that shit stays in your hair forever.
Mm.
When you pee, it'll go away, but it's in your fucking hair forever. And so she shaved her head. And then they settled. They finalized in the summer. And prior, like a month to that, her aunt had just died of ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
And so she was going through an emotional hell.
Yeah, because it said she was really close to her aunt.
Like, this shit could have, like, killed Brittany. Like, she could have actually, like, killed herself.
Right.
Because then a year later, she loses custody of the kids. When she cops find her high in her bathroom, she took, like, 30 pills of, 30 pills of methamphetamines and just locked herself in, like, a bathroom. And she had to go to a psych ward.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I saw then that the court placed her under what's it called?
A conservator?
Yeah, it's like a conservator.
Yeah, so basically her dad was in charge.
Yeah, and, like, she still is. Like, it's permanent.
It's permanent.
And, like, even now when, like, looking at her, it's like she, at this point, is at a much better part of her life. Like, she literally has no control over her own. Like, she's earned all this money. Like, it's not that she's just, you know, got money.
She's
like,
earned
she
it.
Has really earned all that she has. And I saw something saying, like, she didn't, like, she wants to stop performing. Like, she wants to just, like, go and settle down and have kids. And her dad won't let her stop performing. Like, he's making her keep performing.
Fuck
and
it's yeah, like, dude. You are.
You can tell looking at her. Like, she doesn't want to do this
she's
anymore.
Just a product of the machine now. Yeah. Like, basically, all that fame and money just kind of, she was riding that wave, and then that wave finally, like, crashed into her.
Yeah.
And really almost led to her demise as
right.
a human being. This is shit that should be studied in psychology classes in college.
Because
of seeing that shit go down.
It was a crazy amount of fame and success in, like, so quickly.
We're in our mid-20s. Imagine you achieving that status from, really, when you're 15, and then leading to your height at 19, and then through 23, and then your life crumbling at 24.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is crazy ridiculous. Like, her manager had found, he had like a drug sniffing dog go around the house to see if she had any stuff, and he mm-hmm. found crystal meth in like a trap door in her fucking house.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, man, like.
Well, I also saw her manager was like, her family stepped in to get her manager out because he had, like, taken over her whole life and was, like, had moved into her house and was controlling everything she did. And, like, so her manager was also very, like, abusive in that way. Like, and they, he's tried coming back into her life is even just a few years ago. Yeah. And, like, her family's still, like, helping step in, but.
And Brittany's still paying child support for her kid. She doesn't have sole, like, Kevin has sole legal and physical custody of the kids.
Right.
And Brittany pays $20,000 in child support, but I think recently they upped the money to almost $50,000, which is fucking insane. Her kids must be big as shit now. Like, there's no way you need $50,000 to support some fucking kids. Like,
no.
And so, really, post 2008, when she rehabs, is clean, they come out with this hour-long whole documentary about her and her recovery. On a Sunday night on MTV, 5 million people saw this shit on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's watching that much TV at that time, and people were watching this shit. Then she dropped a Circus that year.
Yeah.
Sold 4 million copies worldwide. Her dad is still, like you said, in charge of all the money and basically her life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's insane that seeing memes like, if Britney can get through 2007, you can make it through today.
Which is true. I saw one article saying, like, Britney's a pop survivor. Like, it was a review of a recent performance she did. And they're like, yeah, she's a pop survivor. Like, she went through some really awful stuff, and she's still, like, out there and okay. And the fact that she's even, like, even if she's not, like,
functioning,
thriving as much as she used to be, like, she's okay, and that's impressive.
Yeah, it's.
I'm proud of you, Brittany.
We're proud of you, Brittany. She's been killing it in now with Vegas residency, 4 year residency in Vegas. Like, usually in other people's careers, that's kind of where you go to die. But it's like, some people struggle to find jobs. Some people struggle to just keep relevant. And she had, we're going to give you, you get to perform almost every night for 4 years. Paid up straight and extra revenue. Like, you don't have to try hard. You don't have to tour.
Yeah.
You're in fucking Vegas for 4 years. Like, that's awesome. That's like a dream for some people.
Yeah.
And her last show, the last show she did on New Year's Eve, they made $34 million in one night.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid money.
Yeah.
Stupid money.
Like, from the research I saw, what I was getting from it, especially the more, like, statistical stuff, like Wikipedia, was that basically everything she's done, like, every album, every appearance maybe she made in a TV show, every movie she's been in, has been very successful. Not every single one has been the top, but she's never, like, she doesn't have one album where people are just like, oh, it's an awful album.
No.
She doesn't have any bad albums.
They're all successes.
She has, like, great albums and amazing albums.
Yeah.
Like,
there is not one that is like, oh, this is complete shit.
Right.
You may not like it as much, but they're still a success. Right.
And there are a bunch of things where it's like, oh, she was on this episode of this TV show, which was had the most hits of any other episode of the show.
Yeah, she was on Jane the Virgin.
Yeah, no matter what she was in. Just crazy hits every time, even after everything that she went through, even during this breakdown, the work she was putting out was still successful.
Here's how powerful.
That's not a story you hear often.
Oh, fuck no. Here's how powerful she is. The Israeli Labor Party had to reschedule their primary vote as to not conflict with her sold-out show in Tel Aviv.
I mean, if that ain't a movie.
They moved for fucking her! The Israelis are just like, we're not going to deal with this. And we're like, we will move and Britney will stay because there's a sold out show in the middle
east.
It's like
those who would win memes.
Britney won.
Yeah.
Britney could solve Palestinian-Israeli conflicts if she tried.
Have you seen this one video where it's a video of her performing live and it's the intro to Gimme More and it's like the din 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 before she, you know, she says the part, and then this one guy in the crowd goes, "Who is it?" And you see her just break.
Yeah, she just fucking cracks up. Yeah, it's Britney Bitch.
I love that video.
Quoting Michael Scott. I mean, it's Britney Bitch. Like,
yeah.
And we have to remember, currently, she's 36.
Yeah.
She has not reached 40.
She's still young.
This entire trajectory and character arc in this life that is an anime, really. She is the greatest pop star of my generation. You know, other people's is like Michael Jackson, but it's like,
yeah,
for me, it's fucking Britney Spears. She's just untouchable in so many ways.
Yes, this is true.
Since we have some time, a little tidbit about Kathy Griffin when I saw her live. And we can both agree to this. Post-2008, basically, Kathy talked about at a show that I saw like a year or two ago, she talked about meeting Britney in Vegas. And they hadn't met previously, like, years before, like, a few times. But when she showed up in Vegas, Britney had no recollection of who she was. And that she had an earpiece of someone telling her who she was the whole time. And they were giving her medications behind, the backstage, just to keep her functioning. And Kathy talked about, if you look in Britney's eyes these days, if you just look, she's not really there.
Yeah.
And I think it's everything that happened in that time of, like, shaving head and drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
And going to, like, a psych ward.
Yeah.
That's kind of led to this, that she is really just an unaging, a cog in the machine of entertainment.
I mean, when you told me that, it made me think of, like, what I said with her dad, how it's like, she doesn't want to perform anymore. It's like, I really think she doesn't want this fame. I think she's lost the passion for her career that has made her so amazing.
Yeah, that passion, you don't feel any. If you watch her performances, it's insane, technically, what they do.
But if you look at her face.
Look at her face, like, that passion is fucking dead.
Yeah, she's going through the motions.
Yeah, and it'll be tragic when she fucking dies, like... She'll finally be at peace and, like, no one will be able to make money, like, money off her anymore. But to end on a positive note, because it got dour for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it really did.
But that's like, the truth of Britney. Like, she went through highs and then crazy lows and is now at a good level, but as a human... It's like watching someone that shouldn't be doing something do it. Like, just watching someone going through the motions and just, you know, being a part of what she has to do because someone told her to.
Right.
But she is undeniably untouchable as the greatest pop icon of my generation for more than almost 20 years. That's a long fucking time.
Yeah.
So, Britney is the greatest.
So, everyone, go listen to Britney for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because she deserves it.
She deserves it.
They're bops, so no one loses in this situation.
Yeah. There's no need to feel macho if you're a guy and just like, oh, listen. Yes, you do. Because you're that guy that if Toxic comes on at a party, you're blasting those lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
You're screaming that shit.
Go give Britney the love and attention that she deserves, but not the paparazzi kind of attention.
Leave her alone.
Just the pure appreciation of her music.
Yeah, with all the paparazzi harassing her.
Because that's what she really wants, is she wants her art to be appreciated.
Hilariously enough, she did go out with a paparazzo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Some random guy. So, paparazzi still have a chance at, you know, an actual fame and career.
Sure.
Yeah, so Britney is the greatest.
Yep.
And, So, album of the week? What is it, bro?
You first.
I'm going to go with Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory.
Ooh.
That...
Really?
Hybrid Theory, yeah. That is a certified, hardcore, angsty, still gets me hype album.
Of course.
Rest in peace, Chester.
Oh my god.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Which one?
The Strokes.
Back. What am I feeling today? Stop reading them all out!
Sorry!
Someday I'll actually be prepared for this part. Wait, I think I made a list on my phone.
Jesus
I'm not sure I did, but let me check, because I think I did. I did! I'm great. Oh, perfect. My album of the week that I probably wrote down at who knows when is Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, man.
Fucking album. Oh, man. An icon.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank
Very
you. Nice. Thank you.
So that's it for this week's episode. Join us next time when we talk about Kidz Bop.
Yes.
We talk about Kidz Bop. And the beauty and the horror of Kidz Bop and hearing those songs, Kidz Bopped. We're trying to make it a verb. Kidz Bopified?
Bopped.
Kidz Bopped.
Yeah.
Yes. So imagine hearing Eminem, but with children. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Sure is.
And, what's that 150 Cent song? Candy Shop? Candy Shop is a Kidz Bop song.
So many songs that shouldn't be are.
Yeah. We'll definitely be talking about that, along with why they're doing construction outside. So join us next week. Adios, and listen to Britney all day.
All day, every day. Britney out.